Nikki Booker here. Welcome to my podcast, Find Your Soul, Find Your Soulmate. Had a really fun time doing this podcast episode. It was with my hubby, Mr. Rob Booker. We had, such a great response from the one that we did together that I thought, maybe we should make this a once a month thing, or, well, as much as I can get him when he isn't busy working. But he usually is pretty happy to make the time, or always. But anyway, thanks for coming back today if you're returning. And if you're new, welcome. I hope you enjoy. This episode, Rob and I just talk about kind of the first 2 years of our marriage and some things we did that helped us kind of maintain that happy, lovey first year. So the honeymoon isn't over and we can stay on what we like to call our forever moon. So anyway, I hope you enjoy it. You'll hear some maybe dog shaking in the background. We got a new puppy. Yes, we have 4 dogs and 4 kids. We are insane and we know it. And I don't know, it's kind of chaotic, but I don't know, maybe we kind of like the chaos as far as it comes with the kids and family and the dogs. So enjoy. Hey, Mr. Rob Booker.
Hi.
Thanks for coming back.
You're welcome.
It's time for another one. We've got our second year anniversary coming up. So I thought it might be a good time to talk about, I don't know, I had a whole list of tips and reminders for the first year, and it's probably too much. So
first year of
marriage.
Oh, very
nice. But we're on 2. So maybe first 2 years of marriage. We had an interesting past few days. I had a little puppy follow me home, and so wasn't expected. Got a little girl, Pearl. But anyway, so I just wanted to talk to you about, I think I had a list of things written down. It's quite the list, but I think we're going to focus on something that I think is really important in your first year, second year. I'll just say second year of marriage since we're on the second one. Okay. Happy almost anniversary.
Same to you. We're almost on the third year. We're going on third year.
We're finishing our second year, right? Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. No, we're not. Date, did I just totally mess up? But so I don't know. I think something for me that I found that has helped, just helped our relationship and helped us to continue to grow and become closer and kind of get through, I don't know. I think the first year is hard. Second year is hard. First couple of years, because you're learning how to live together. You're learning how to read the other person, especially if you haven't lived with anybody for a long time or if you've been single for a long time. A lot of people might live together before they're married. We didn't do that.
We didn't live together after we were
married. That's true. I know. I was like, I think I did this backwards. Wait a minute. Hold on. When is he moving down here? Not for a couple of months. It's like, I don't know if I really thought this through, but I believed in you. I knew you were coming. But so one of the things I want to talk about is triggers. I feel like you have to identify one of the most important things you do when you're in a relationship and it's just starting is you have to figure out what the triggers are for the other person. And I think they're different for everybody based on our references, based on our past relationships, based on how we were raised. I mean, based on like a million things, mm-hmm. But I think that you have to figure out what those triggers are, because those are the things that could potentially create some conflict in your relationship.
Okay.
Triggers. So, yeah. Okay. And I think that for us, I mean, I really just think about some of our first arguments.
Well, what's a trigger?
Something that you see clearly is going to upset your partner, or maybe just a sensitive topic. Or something that you're likely to argue about.
What's your trigger?
Well, you tell me. I think I know what your trigger is. And there's probably more than one. I mean, I think I can think of like a couple.
But what is yours?
What's mine?
You're avoiding the question. This is good.
I don't know what mine is. Oh. I know what yours is. Yours are.
Mine is when someone tells me that they know exactly what my trigger is.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I think yours are, and then.
Okay.
And then.
So this is like a verbal cue or something that you know is going to set the other person off.
I don't know that it's necessarily a verbal cue. I think it could just be you've had an argument about it in the past, or you know it's a sensitive topic.
So a sensitive topic.
Yeah, that you have to be very consciously aware of throughout your relationship, how you approach discussing that topic, because it's sensitive to the other person, or it could potentially cause an argument or conflict.
Okay.
So I think,
and then the more you know about those, the better equipped you're going to be sensitive about those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To avoid fights or in the future.
Or to have the conversations early or in a better way. Like,
right.
Not to avoid it, but maybe to.
No,
to,
not avoid
to
it.
Definitely be able to.
Get some clarity around it so that you have a better understanding of why it's a sensitive topic or why it could be a trigger.
Yeah.
And so that you can just more effectively handle it when it's going to come up again. Right. And so I think for us, and maybe this is my trigger too. You said like, what's your trigger? I think we both have the same trigger. We're both extremely protective of our children. Super protective. And
I don't know. Mine, I'm protective of the younger ones. But the older ones now, I'm like, if they wandered off and went to, you know.
Well, that's probably because we have a
especially of the younger ones. Yeah, especially of the younger ones.
I don't know. I think the first time, I just remember one of the first arguments we got into, and it was about the kids. And it was just, we were both being very protective about making sure that they got exactly what they needed. And it was always kind of just like a tricky, kind of sensitive topic. But I felt like I always had to be very careful to make sure that if I was ever correcting your children, right? Correcting your children or having an opinion about the kids, that it was always, it was very important to me that you understood that the only reason I'm having maybe that could be a negative opinion is because I love them, right? And I care about them and I care about you. And so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really, I think it was true in the first year. It's definitely not a trigger now. I think I trust
you now. That's because we've learned how.
I trust you now. Mm-hmm. I don't even think about it now.
See, but you know why? Because, I really figured out early on that whenever we discuss the kids that I have to really, really think about what I'm going to say before I say it and how I'm going to say it so that I make sure it comes across in a way that you can understand and know that I'm coming from a good place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that was true in the first year for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care now.
I know.
Like now,
well, now they're all just looped into the same group.
But now they're older. And so that's wouldn't be because now they're older and I know that you have their best interests at heart and I trust you. Whereas that would be something that would take me a long time to do. And once you have that trust, I wouldn't question it.
But I think we had to prove that to each other a little bit.
Yeah. I think it wasn't really about the children. It was more about being second guessed on my parenting skills. One of my triggers is if you leave me alone with the kids, but then give me a long list of things I have to do.
Right.
That's a trigger for me. Like, it's a trigger, not because of the list. It's a trigger because of my own sensitivity around that issue. Like if I'm going to, I would like, it's really weird too, because I trust, it's not as much of one with you because I trust you now. Mm-hmm. And so I know you have my best interests, but it's so immediate with me that if I feel like you're looking over my shoulder at something, especially on that, really with anything. That's my trigger. Mm-hmm. Looking over my shoulder while doing something that you asked me to do. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, just let me cut my finger off. Like, just let me make the mistake.
No, it's interesting that you say that, because I think that a lot of women do that. Like after they have kids and, you know, we read all these books about, especially from like the infant stage, like make sure they, you know, this nap routine, this feeding schedule, this, you know, don't let them do this, make sure they do this. And we get so we have our own routine, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom. And even if you're not, like you have this idea in your mind of how the day should go. And then you decide to go on a mommy night out, or you decide to go have some time, and then you leave instructions with the husband. And then when he doesn't follow them, you're like, I think a lot of women tend to get annoyed. And I always felt, I think I used to do that. And now maybe just being a single mother, I'm just like happy to have that time to myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, as long as you keep them alive. And then plus, I think too, it's like, why did the women just all of a sudden get to just dictate, like, you should be doing this? It's it's your kid too.
Like, well, one of the reasons
if you want to go spray them with, you know, silly string and like go bananas and eat chocolate sundaes, like they're your kids and you have that right to do that. Like you shouldn't have to ask for permission from your
That's a balance. Person. Like I try in my moments of clarity, I try to remember that you do know what's best. So if you do leave me with the kids for a few days, you do know what's best. And so I there's a level of me that wants to hear what that is. And then mm-hmm. I want to be able to
And then I just trust want to be able to get that done and don't be looking over your shoulder.
Or just trust me to know in the moment whether we could get it done or not. Like it's harder for me to do a list of things that might be easy for you to do. So I think in the first year of marriage, I was more concerned about how you would discipline. A trigger would be how you disciplined the kids. Mm-hmm. And now in the second year of marriage and beyond, it's second guessing how I have my fun time with the kids. Like, right. So in the first year of marriage, my trigger would be, don't be too hard on, you know, my kids. Or I don't even know if that was a trigger, but it really is. Like my main trigger is if you ask me to do something and I'm stuck, you know, I don't mind saying, I like it when someone says, can I help you with that? Because if I'm struggling with it, I'm not. But I have
well, we're
a real
a team,
trigger.
And I say, you know, this is when they need to be at school. And this is, you know, what she can't eat this because she's allergic to it. But then it's like, you got to kind of let that's it. Like, then it's like, then you got to leave it to you to just,
well,
you know,
yeah.
do the best that you can to make sure that those things happen.
Most of the time it's not an issue, but yeah. it's only an issue for me when I'm trying to make your life easier. So I've taken over on something. And then also I'm doing it to make your life easier, and then you're still stressed about it. It's like, why didn't we just do this in the first place? You're like, if you want to give me a task to do, and then you also want to micromanage it, I'm just going to check out. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's my trigger.
Well, and I think that's what a lot of people do is it's hard to kind of say, here's how I would do it. And here's the things. And you give them helpful information, but you can't expect them to do it exactly like you.
Yeah.
Would
even for really small things. Like if you say, can you put the sheets on the bed? And then I'm putting the sheets on the bed and you come in and you say, oh, we don't do the sheets that way. I'm like, who's we?
I thought we were we.
I mean, maybe the sheet pops off later in the night and I'm like, yeah, I can laugh about it then.
Right.
But I have to be able to like go through that difficult moment of, but anyway, yeah, I think that would be a trigger for me. That's probably the big one is that's probably mine. I don't know what yours is. I don't really know.
I don't either.
I think your trigger is I think not, and I don't push this button, so we don't really have to deal with it very often. Mm-hmm. But you don't like to be
Oh, I want to hear this.
There's two things I know. If I have something to say about something that you've done, you do not like snap judgments. There's a trigger
true.
For you where someone immediately jumps down your throat. It goes from zero to like a million real quick because it's an immediate reaction that you built up over time of mm-hmm. somebody disapproving and then, you know,
like, I think that's true because I'm harder on myself than anybody else could possibly be. So when somebody I love and care about has any sort of negative thing to say about me, it just like hurts me to the core.
But especially if it's like I walk in the door and the first thing I say, if the first thing is critical, like I come home and I look at what we're cooking and I have a comment about that or why is something, and I don't do this. So
you
we don't
never
see it a lot.
Do that.
But I've done it a few times where I've snapped a couple times. Like we haven't been around each other all day long. And then mm-hmm. my first thing is something negative. And you're like, all day long, I would just want to be around you. And now I'm around you. And the first thing you do is jump down my throat about something. You do not. Like that's number one. That's mm-hmm. the first one. Like,
well, that's interesting because I feel like that's really interesting. You see that because I feel like as a woman and I'm home before you and I read this in a book a while back and it was, I think it was the Mr. and Mrs. I got to look at what the book was, but it was like the guide to being happy, Mr. and Mrs. Happy. But it was basically like when your husband walks in the door, like if you're at home and he walks in the door, like, you need to like, just be happy to see him. Right. Because, and hopefully you really are happy to see him. Yeah. Right. But don't immediately like give him like 10 things he needs to do. Like, we need this done. We need this, the trash needs to go out, blah, 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 blah. Cause he's already been dealing with that stuff all day. And he needs to feel like when he comes home, and this is true for women too, like your home is your sanctuary. Like, you need to be able to come home and just like take a deep breath. Right. And just kind of release some of that stuff. And the last thing you want to do is walk in the door or have someone walk in the door and tell you something you probably already know that you need to do. Right. Yeah.
But it goes like on a deeper level with you. If you say, what do you think about this Instagram picture? And my first reaction is, I don't like my first reaction. If, even if I have some,
it would probably really upset me.
Even if I have constructive criticism to give, I can't just let that out.
You're really good though about how you give constructive criticism. You've given it to me before, and
I would prefer to just tell you what I think sometimes. That's true.
Done that. Like, you told me once, like, I think you should redo the video and say this. And of course I was like, because I already sent it to get captions, but I didn't get mad at you.
But we had a long, we had a conversation leading up to that.
Yeah. So we, you buttered me up.
Nope. But no, it's funny. I didn't just make a snap judgment. I listened to both.
That's
so
true.
You just want someone to listen before, and this is
have
big
all
for
the
you.
Information this is before you make a decision.
If I'm not listening to you, and then I immediately tell you not even the solution, but I immediately start interpreting it.
Yeah.
You need, like, in every big decision, you need like 10 days of conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And in every small decision, I need to make sure you feel listened to. And if you don't feel listened to before I start talking about it, that's a big trigger for you. So that was my second one, is not listening.
You got it.
If I'm not listening to you, that drives you bananas.
Yeah.
If you feel like I'm not, like, and if I'm in the middle of a work thing while you're trying to also talk to me, we have to have a conversation where I'm like, I got to finish this so I can pay full attention to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise.
But that's what you're so good at. You're like, I have this going on and I really want to make sure that I have time to listen. Like, I really want to.
Yeah.
You're really good about that.
Well, I know it's a trigger. I think that comes from.
That's true.
And everybody's going to have something different. For some people, it could be, I know it's a terrible one, but like there might be just a particular way that somebody does housework.
Mm-hmm.
Or
the kitchen. The kitchen's a big thing, like where stuff goes.
Or rearranging things in the house.
Rearranging things,
Or some men are really protective of their car.
Yeah.
So it's childish. Everybody has something.
Everybody has some like irrational, you know, silly thing.
But if you find out what the most important, you can't walk on eggshells for someone else.
No.
But if you're talking about the really big things that are the deepest sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't learn to
Figure those things out. You got to figure those things out early on, because you don't want to continue to argue about the same things. And I feel like if you don't take, you have to really listen.
Yeah.
And that's just so funny that I feel like I know what your triggers are. And then you ask me what mine is. And I'm like, I don't know. I think that's your job as a spouse. Like, it's my job to figure out what yours are, and it's your job to figure out what mine are. And then we just.
By even asking.
Oh, of course. Right. I love what you say. You're like, just give me the answers to the test.
Yeah. So there's positive triggers too.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
So my positive trigger is, if you just look at me, if you even recorded a message that Siri said, and it was just Siri saying it, I really appreciate how hard you work for our family, even if you don't even think it, even if it's a total lie. And if even you played a recorded message of that, like, even if you paid William Shatner $1,000 to record that and you just played it for me, it would immediately, I'd be on top of the world. Like, that's a positive trigger for me. And if you say that, or if you said,
it's true,
like, if I take the kids for 3 days while you go do something important for you.
Oh my gosh.
And if you say thank you for that, like, I'm like, that's all I wanted to hear. Like, I don't need anything. A big trigger for me is just recognition for that.
Appreciation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For like those things. And that's like a huge positive trigger. Mm-hmm. And if you like.
Well, and I think mine, like, you're talking about positives. Like, I love flowers. Like, it's totally cliche, but it's just like, it drove me nuts if I was ever dating someone that said, oh, it's just a waste and they're just going to die and it's a waste of money. I'm like, oh, it's so easy to just get flowers and bring them home. It's so easy to do.
If you bring home flowers because you want the reaction, then you shouldn't bring them home at all. But if you're really just bringing them home, and if she didn't even notice it, that you did it anyway, that's the reason to bring them home. Like, you would bring it home because it's the right thing to do. Like, my thing is, if you just tell me that, if you just, even if you don't mean it, if you're just mad at me and you say, I really appreciate how hard you work, be like, oh, you're the greatest. Like, even, it doesn't even have to be
well,
meant.
Well, that's like the love languages too, like words of affirmation. Yeah. I read that.
So even if I bring
finally,
the flowers home and you're not in the mood for them, like,
I am always in the mood.
It's not an apology, and it's not a, it's not right. So it's not an apology.
No, you do it because you know it makes me happy. Yeah. And I communicated that to you early on, that I love flowers, and not because of like, you should buy me flowers. Fresh flowers in the house make me happy. Like, it just makes me happy. I like nature. I like to walk. I love having fresh flowers in the home.
And you also just like it when I am out doing something else and I've thought of you and I bring home something.
Yeah, it lets me know that you're thinking about me.
Yeah, you like the, like, even small tokens.
You leave me notes all over the place, which I love. And it's, and then I still find that sometimes I don't even find them.
I didn't know you still like those.
I do love it. That's cool. I love it. It's just usually I find them when I haven't even had a cup of coffee yet. And I'm like, oh, right. It's so sweet. And you know me, before I have a cup of coffee, I'm like brain dead.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Those are good. So there's positive and negative ones.
Positive and negative triggers. So just identifying those things.
And you identify them through conversation.
You have to communicate.
Can you just say to somebody, what are your triggers? Like
that. You could say what really pisses you off.
Yeah. What would
immediately... what things have happened to you in the past from relationships that just really like pissed you off that someone did or said or the way they behaved? I mean, definitely, I think.
Right. Right. If somebody that I can just see it, even though I don't know.
How much easier would it be if people just did that from the beginning? Okay. What do you like? What would make you super happy if I did every day, and what would piss you off every day? And you just remembered that and you, it's like the list. It's like the answers to the test.
What happens if you don't even know that it's a trigger and then something pops up?
Well, I think we all have
for young people.
Yeah. Well, and then you have to think about too, there's people that have kind of deep-seated issues. Maybe they don't even realize it bothers them. Something's happened to them in their past. It's very psychological. It's buried like really, really deep and they don't know. So, I mean, and that's the reason again, why you try to identify them and you have to really listen. But, you know, and that's, people are going to argue. Like we have arguments. Like we're going to have arguments. And that's why that stuff happens. I think that's why I always feel like when people get, yes, you're going to be mad. You're going to be super mad if something happens, but it's not like we don't like deliberately set out to hurt our partner or piss them off or make them mad. Right. Cause that's not fun. Nobody likes to fight. Like everybody likes to be happy. And in that, like, you know, like lovey-dovey mode. Nobody wants to be arguing. So,
although some people's, most people, but there are like anybody that lives in like a Manhattan zip code, like arguing is like conversation for them. Like they want someone that changes.
Some people want to be challenged all the time. No offense. I like visiting.
Some people probably want to be challenged all. Like that's something that if they're not getting enough of
that's
that.
A cultural difference, you know?
Yeah, so
like
everybody's got their own thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you, obviously.
Okay, but what happens if you don't know it and it pops up? So you're a young couple.
You got to talk about
it. All of a sudden.
You got to have the tough conversations. That was the other thing. You got to have the tough conversations. I always write about intimacy and everything in my blog. And if you don't have conflict, then, and you don't have those tough conversations, then you don't get closer.
So if a trigger pops up, like, let's just make a hypothetical one. Like, let's just say a dog followed you home and like, I didn't really know.
And she's really cute.
I didn't know, like 24 hours later, I hated that dog. Like,
I know. And I saw that.
And I didn't know it. It was a surprise to me. My reaction was, you know, not good. And I didn't know that. So I just said to you, I didn't know this was how I was going to feel about the
dog.
You
were very, but it was a difficult conversation, right? You knew it was
going to, you knew
I was upset, you were upset, but we didn't, you knew I didn't bring the dog home to upset you. And I just explained to you where I was coming from, why I'm taking care of the dog and
none of which
we
really
had
mattered
a long
to me,
conversation
right?
about. Well, you
it was funny because I knew all those things. It's so funny. It's like I was learning that I was learning that those, like you said, those things, and I was like, wow, that didn't make me feel better. Like, those are all really good things to say.
I know, and I'm like, I don't know what else to say. It's temporary. I'm going to train her. Yeah. It's going to get better.
I know. So I guess we just decided that, you know, I guess I was telling you without knowing these words. I was telling you this caused something that I didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. And I could see that. And so I was afraid. So I was kind of avoiding you, but not because I was trying, I was avoiding because I was trying to read you and I couldn't get a really good read on it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I'm going to do everything for this dog because I know this is my problem that I have with taking in strays.
Yeah.
And I have to show him that this is not going to be an additional headache for him. And I'm going to take care of it. And you know, if it becomes too big of a hassle for our family, then we'll have another conversation. But,
yeah. And that was all I needed. It's funny. Like once we had that conversation, it was done for me. That's the other thing.
Well, and we had a lot of time together and that was the other thing. I know we're not really talking about that on this, this episode, but, you and I are really, really good about making sure that we have our alone time. That's something that we have to have. We've always had to have that. We've had to make a point. It's a priority.
Yeah.
That at least once a week. And we, you know, we're pretty much not once a week, but once every couple of weeks. But I think as soon as we don't have that time, we feel it, you know? I feel it when we don't have that time together.
Yeah.
It's, and then we get back, you know, we get our time alone together and we just completely get back on the same page. We talk about all the stuff that's going on. We're not interrupted by, you know, anybody telling us that they need, you know, a drink of water or a banana or an iPad or the wireless is out or I want to play Fortnite. Like we can actually talk, finish conversations, have some quality time together. Some other things, like we're together and it's just, it's almost like a renewal every time we do it. Like it just, I feel like it really just, it's like recharging our batteries almost. Like we just get recharged and we're like just ready to go, you know, ready to tackle the next 2 weeks before we have it again. So, yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, I think we have dogs joining us that are getting a little bit loud and they pretty much made debuts a couple of times, I think earlier. So sorry about that, but four kids, four dogs, it's bound to happen.
Oh my gosh.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
I love you.
I love you too. Happy early 2-year anniversary. Hey, thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed it. Rob and I have a great time doing this together. I hope that I can get him on these more often. It's just fun. I think it actually is good for our marriage. We kind of revisit some themes and some concepts that, you know, it's a good reminder for us too. So if you like what you heard, please subscribe to my podcast. And if you would like to leave a review, that would be amazing as well. You can find me at nikkibooker.com. I offer private coaching if that's something you're interested in. We talk about relationships, goal setting, pretty much anything. I'm here. So thanks again and have the best day.
Hi, I have a question for the show. I was just wondering, could you describe the perfect husband in 10,000 words or less? I love you.